This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. We're continuing our discussion about election 2021, two U.S. Senate races on the ballot today in Atlanta, Georgia, and across the Peach State. Over 3 million people voted early. And in Georgia, there are 7 million registered voters. So that tells you something. Turnout's going to be immense, and it will be significant today. But in Georgia, the president made a stop last night supporting the Republican incumbents for the U.S. Senate. And in doing so, he once again defied logic and arithmetic and stated that he actually won the election and won the state of Georgia, two cases which have been clearly proved that he did not win, he lost. And with us to talk about this and more is Albert Samuels, the gentleman who heads the Departments of History and Political Science at Southern University. Dr. Samuels, your thoughts about where we are right now as a people in this country and the fact that probably most members of our congressional delegation tomorrow will not vote to adhere to the results of the election. Your thoughts?
Well, good morning, Jim. And first of all, Happy New Year to you.
And to you.
And to you. We are in, I think the metaphor, I'm sorry, the adjective that's been overused to describe a situation we're in is sort of unprecedented. We are in a runoff election. I think we said that this is probably the most expensive runoff in history. $500 million that have been spent between November 3rd and January the 5th. And control of the United States Senate is basically at stake. The Democrats really need to take both of these seats to get to a 50-50 Senate with the vice president having the tiebreaker. Otherwise, the Republicans will control the Senate and will be in a position to block a considerable amount of incoming President Biden's agenda. So it's a. This is actually an election. This is still like the 2020 election, like the final episode.
Well, in Las Vegas now, of course, they bet on everything in Vegas and in other places. A gentleman who has been providing me with information, Josh Barton, says right now in Las Vegas, the odds are 62% that Raphael Warnock will win over Kelly Loeffler, and it's 50-50. 50-50 between Perdue and Ossoff. So if that stays true, that means that the Perdue-Ossoff election will determine who controls the U.S. Senate. So it's going to be a fascinating night in Georgia and, by extension, the United States and the world. And just for laughs, if you want to look at Las Vegas right now, the odds for being the Democratic nominee in 2024, number one is Kamala Harris, 5-2, Joe Biden, 7-1, Andrew Yang is 8-1, Pete Buttigieg, 9-1, Beto O'Rourke, 10-1, Bernie Sanders, 12-1, Michelle Obama, 12-1, Stacey Abrams, 12-1. On the Republican side, it's Mike Pence, 7-2, Nikki Haley, 7-2, John Kasich, 8-1, Josh Hawley, 8-1, Ted Cruz, 8-1, and Donald Trump, 10-1. Donald Trump Jr., by the way, 16-1. 877-217-5757. Let's go to David in Atlanta. David, you're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, David.
Good morning. You know, when President Trump told the Secretary of State in Georgia, you can get in trouble for this. You could be in legal problems regarding changing the election of a certified election upheld in several courts. That clearly is a threat. Just like that's like Joey Colombo of the Colombo crime family saying, if you don't join the Italian-American Civil Rights League, you could be in trouble. Now, there isn't a dime's worth of difference between those two comparisons, and I'm sure the district, the black lady who's a district attorney in Fulton County could make a big name for herself by indicting president when he leaves office, and I think that will be the case. And having a black woman putting this racist president in orange jumpsuit would be poetic justice.
David is carrying his imagination to quite an extension, but some would say he's got a point. Dr. Samuels, does David in Atlanta have a point?
Well, I think that speaks to a larger question about the entire call. And I think a case can be made that actually several crimes were committed in the context of that call. The president essentially asked the Secretary of State to engage in election fraud. That argue that violates the state code, it violates the federal code. That is a definition of extortion. You know, that, I mean, the president on 9 separate occasions used the word criminal to refer to the Secretary of State not seeing any fraud in or letting fraud take place in that race. So I think you can make the argument that yes, the president committed a crime. And the only question will be, is will anything be done about it?
877-217-5757, your number for Dr. Albert Samuels, who heads the Departments of Political Science and History at Southern University. And a story in the New York Times today, on the eve of Georgia's high-stakes Senate runoffs, a top state election official yesterday delivered a strong condemnation of President Trump over false claims of voter fraud and issued an emotional appeal to Georgians to ignore the president's disinformation and cast their ballots today in a race that will determine control of the Senate. The official Gabriel Sterling ticked off a point-by-point rebuttal of Mr. Trump's grievances about his loss in Georgia to Joe Biden, in which the president aired most recently over the weekend in a phone call with Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, a fellow Republican. Mr. Trump pressured Raffensperger during the conversation to find votes to overturn his general election loss. "I wanted to scream," Mr. Sterling said at an afternoon news conference yesterday, referring to his reaction. And there have been people indicted for much less. Remember John Edwards, who paid a mistress to be quiet about their affair when he was running for president of the United States? He had a hung jury, almost went to federal prison. Donald Trump, he did that too. He paid Stormy Daniels $300,000 to be quiet about his affair with a porn star. And yet he got away with that. He was impeached but not convicted, and now he's in potential legal exposure in the state of Georgia, the state of New York, and perhaps that's why he wishes to stay in office. It does inoculate him from a lot of attention that he will receive once he becomes a private citizen. Henry at the Country Club of Louisiana. Henry, you're on with Dr. Samuels. Good morning to you.
Well, good morning, Mr. Jim. Good morning, Dr. Samuels. Hope y'all having a great 2021. I know y'all are young fellas, and y'all probably can't remember back to 1861, but there were a handful of members of the Congress and of the members of the Senate that were expelled
Henry, we just talked about that with Matt Williams. Do you have a question? What's your question regarding that?
I was wondering if Dr. Samuels could expound on it a bit.
All right. Are there any members of Congress who may face some exposure for their actions? What do you think, Dr. Samuels?
Well, I think it will be talked about, but I don't think that anything will come of it. But it is an apt comparison, because you have essentially over 100 Republicans in the House of Representatives, and right now I think it's 13 Republican United States Senators who are basically going to argue that the Democratic election that took place on November the 3rd, was illegitimate. And despite what the will of the voters are, we want to nominate, we want to have our candidate made president.
Gustavo in Goodwood. Gustavo, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
You're always talking about, you liberals always talk about President Trump's crimes and how many crimes he has committed. I'll just tell you one crime that was not even mentioned, and that was the most criminal offense by a president, and that was Fast and Furious. Nobody even mentioned it.
It's been mentioned, Gustavo, or you wouldn't be talking about it, and I don't know that it was a crime. Is that equitable as far as comparing that to President Trump paying off a porn star to be quiet about their affair?
Well, you're not letting me explain, but quite honestly, having an affair, what about, like you said, John Edwards, Ron Livingston? What, were they ever prosecuted for having an affair?
John Edwards was, yes. And he almost went...
He was prosecuted for having an affair, or what happened after the affair?
For allegedly lying and paying off a mistress, which, of course, President Trump did as well.
And, but is that a crime?
But I'm well, a jury in Edwards' case decided that it was...
What about Governor Edwards? He had a bunch of affairs.
I don't think he ever paid anybody off, but it's nice that we have this
devout... Do you know that for a fact?
It's nice that we have this devout Roman Catholic, Gustavo, who will be president in a few days, isn't it?
That's not a Roman Catholic. He's never a Roman Catholic.
Oh, he's a Roman
Catholic. He cannot be a Roman Catholic. He should be excommunicated.
Why is that? Speechless as Gustavo, as Roman Catholic Joe Biden will become the second Catholic to be president. Back with Dr. Samuels. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. A few more minutes with Albert Samuels, Director of Political Science at Southern University. I want to make sure we didn't cut Gustavo off. Gustavo, do you have anything more, my friend? Are you still there, Gustavo? Guess not. Rinaldi in North Baton Rouge. Rinaldi, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Rinaldi.
Good morning to you, and Happy New Year to you, Dr. Samuels, and to Jim. Jim, let's change the tenor of things just a little bit. Two things that have happened in this country in the last couple of years that just drive me up a wall with media sources and the society as a whole. Number one, Confederate statues. I'm going to tie this together. Confederate statues and the loss of the election by Donald Trump. It seems in this culture that we celebrate the losers and give them more attention than we did to the winners. Donald Trump is sucking all this oxygen out of the room. The same fake narrative that was written about Confederate statues, how they were great heroes and all these other things. Stonewall Jackson was a loser.
All right. What about Confederate icons being memorialized, particularly in these parts? Kirby Smith still has a name on the tallest building at LSU, and General Middleton, who fought for the United States in two wars, had his name taken off. You're a graduate of Louisiana State University. Albert Samuels, your thoughts about why we continue to pay homage to these Confederate icons?
Well, that is basically traceable to the lost cause narrative, that once the South lost the war, they made up a narrative about what the war was about. They essentially denied that the war was about slavery, but it was about states' rights. So they basically made up a false history. And to a large degree, a lot of these Confederate statues and veneration of the Confederate flag were things that came decades later as monuments to the idea that white people were now firmly back in charge. So the idea was to celebrate white supremacy, if anything else. And in many ways, that narrative has been quite successful in shaping the narrative. And so the South may have lost the war on the battlefield, but in many ways, the South won the war culturally in terms of how the war was viewed.
Well, Albert Samuels, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you, and let's do it again soon, my friend. And we live in
sure.
interesting times.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.